Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to the Least of These podcast. We reach out to those the world has forgotten. If you'd like to know more about us and how you can donate to help us fulfill our mission, go to hisloveministries.net. Thank you very much and God bless you.
Sweetly echo the gospel come, wonderful words of life. Author, garden, and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Haste, O soul, may save.
Introduce Romans chapter 8 today, but what we're really going to do is we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit this morning. That's what we're going to talk about, because in Romans chapter 8, the Holy Spirit is mentioned about 20 times, and all the way up to now in the book of Romans, he's only been mentioned one time. So I kind of want to teach a little bit about the Holy Spirit today, and that's kind of what this is all about, because it's the Holy Spirit that helps us live the Christian life. And some people have gone a little too far one way with the Holy Spirit, and because of that, some people are afraid of it, and so some people don't go far enough at all. The bottom line is each and every one of us, if we're a believer, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, and it's the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to live the Christian life. And that's what it's all about. So today's going to be kind of topical. I'm going to read some verses out of my Bible, but as I'm just going to kind of be jumping from place to place to place, I'm kind of start out a little bit about talking a little bit about the Trinity. The Bible says that God exists as three persons, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And each person is fully God, but there's only one God. And that's confusing for some people. One man said, if you try to deny the Trinity, you'll lose your soul. But if you try to figure it out, you'll lose your mind. Because the Trinity is really something that's difficult to understand. I always think about this. I don't even, you know, where would you get something like this? But as younger, I don't know if you hear this anymore, but people used to say me, myself, and I. You know, and you have a body, soul, and a spirit, right? We're a three-part being. And if you look around in the world, you'll see that the world is made up of so many different things that are made up of three parts. Maybe one day I'll bring you one of those sheets. I pulled up one of those things. But there was a lot of mystical, weird stuff that people have believed. But God has shown himself in creation in three parts. There's three parts to the hydrological cycle. There's three parts to a family. There's a father, a mother, and a children, right? There's the sun, the moon, and the earth. You know, there's the water, the sky, and land. There's, you know, when you look at atoms, I don't know if you realize it, probably you remember from school that they were broken into protons, neutrons, and electrons. But did you know each of those things are broken down into three parts, and then you keep going down in each of those pieces, and they've gotten down to some little small pieces. I mean, you couldn't even see the atoms without a microscope, an electronic microscope that sees almost nothing, and atoms are invisible, basically, to the naked eye. Each one of those parts is broke down into three parts. And as far as they've broken it down, each of those things is broken into three parts. And I really don't know how to explain it, but there's many, many things in the world that are broken into three parts. And I believe that's just God showing us his creation and the way he's done things. And so it's hard to understand. We've talked about gases, solids, and liquids. You know, a gas is not a solid, and a solid is not a liquid. But that's the three parts, right? So there's all these three parts that and I think God has created it that way just to show us who He is. You can look at a couple of places like Matthew 28, and where Jesus gives the disciples the Great Commission, and He tells them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you, and I am with you, lo, always, even to the end of the age. Amen, right? He says, not in the names of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, but in the name of the Holy Spirit, right? You could go to 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, and he says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. And so there's all these places in the Bible. We look at the baptism of Jesus. What happens at the baptism of Jesus? Jesus is being baptized by John. And we hear the Father speaking from heaven. And it says the Holy Spirit came down like a dove. Now, it always bugs me because if you ever see any pictures of Jesus getting baptized, there's always a dove there. It doesn't say He came down in the form of a dove. It says He came down like a dove. He kind of gently settled down on top of Jesus. Like a dove doesn't mean He was a dove. But they always show a picture of a dove landing on Jesus when or flying as Jesus is getting baptized. We can look at some of these things. We can look at John 14, verse 16. And I'm going to be all over the place today. So you may keep up with me, not. A lot of them, I'm just going to read them. But he says, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. And I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. So what does Jesus say? He says, I'm giving you another helper. And He talks about He will be with you, right? He doesn't say it. So never call the Holy Spirit an it. He's the Spirit, but He's not an it. He is a He. And just like God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There's many other places. 1 Corinthians 12:3 says, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is the one who really shows us who God is. He's the one that speaks to our heart when we get saved, when God speaks to our heart. As you read your Bible, maybe you've read a passage 100 times, and the 101st time you read it, what happens? All of a sudden that verse speaks to you, right? And you know who's doing that, who's opening that up to you? It's the Holy Spirit, right? But the Bible says the moment you believe, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, He tells us that over there. Let me just read that verse to you and kind of show you that the moment you believe, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. He says, in Him you trust, and He's talking about Jesus Christ, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. And so what does He say there? He says, the moment you believe, the moment you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and you put your trust in Him, what happened? You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That word sealed is a very important word. It means ownership, right? It speaks of ownership. We belong to God. It speaks of authority. It speaks of ownership. It speaks of a legal authorized document. And when he gets down to that other word, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That word promise is the word the old King James Version used to use the word earnest money. And I don't know if anybody's still got the old King James Version, but he talks about earnest. He is the earnest, the down payment. And that word down payment really means wedding ring, an engagement ring. When a man promises to marry a woman, he doesn't always follow through, does he? But when God seals us with His Holy Spirit, He says the Holy Spirit coming to live inside of us is to guarantee the promise that we belong to Him and that He's coming back to get us one day, because Ephesians 5 speaks of us being the bride of Christ, right? What happens is the moment we believe, the Holy Spirit seals us, and it's the Holy Spirit really that saves us too. Titus chapter 3, verse 4 and 5 says, "But when the kindness of God, the kindness and love of our God, our Savior, towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out abundantly on us through Jesus Christ our Savior." So the Spirit is a person. We want to talk about some of those things. First of all, He has intelligence. If you wanted to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, if you want to turn with me over there, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, I'll give you a second to get there. Remember in this section, Paul's talking about wisdom of the world and wisdom that comes from God. And he talks about that the natural man doesn't understand the things of God. And he says, "Eyes not seen nor ears heard the things which have entered in the heart of God, the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." But in verse 10 he says, "But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things which have been freely given to us by God." He goes on to talk about that section, and he says, "These things we speak, not words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." And so he goes on to tell us that we have the mind of Christ. How do we have the mind of Christ? By the Holy Spirit, right? It's the Holy Spirit that gives us a wisdom that's not from this world. So he has intelligence. Guess what? He also has emotions. If you want to flip with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, it talks about, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." So the Holy Spirit has intelligence. The Holy Spirit has emotions. In other words, He can be grieved, right? He has a will. Let me read one more verse in Hebrews 10:29. He says, "Of how much worse do you suppose will we be thought? Will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot and counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing and insulted the Spirit of grace?" So basically we can insult the Holy Spirit, right? And he also has a will. In 1 Corinthians 12:11 he says, "But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one as he wills." In other words, what is he talking about there? He's talking about the gifts of the Spirit, right? He's talking about the gifts of the Spirit. There's other actions. He teaches and guides. In John 14, verse 26, he says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." He also commands. He said over in Acts chapter 13, verse 2, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, 'Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them.'" So he commands. He says, "Separate Paul and Barnabas for the work." So a person does not have emotions. Something that's not a person does not have emotions, does not command, does not have a will, does not have intelligence. But he also prays and intercedes, right? Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 26, and he talks about how the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, right? Let me read that real quick. Romans chapter 8, verse 26, he says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of Christ is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So what does he say? That the Holy Spirit does what? Prays for us, and he knows the mind of God, and he searches the will of God, and he makes intercession according to the will of God, right? Also, he performs miracles. In chapter 8, verse 39, it says, now when he came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. I don't know if you remember that section, and Philip was off on his own, and God says, go out in the desert. There's a man out there, and he's reading in Isaiah, and he says, do you understand what you're reading? And he says, how can I understand unless somebody shows me? So he speaks about Jesus as the Savior, and the man, after he hears and believes, he says, what stops me from being baptized? And he says, if you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be baptized, right? And he baptizes the man, and as soon as he gets through baptizing him, guess what happens? The Holy Spirit takes Philip away. He just disappears, right? And we see many, many times, we could even talk about the Spirit in the Old Testament. We'll talk a little bit about that. He can be blasphemed. Matthew 12, verse 32 says, anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks it against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or the age to come. Think about this. What did Jesus do in that section? He was saying that he was God and he was performing miracles. And what did the Pharisees say? They said, you do these miracles by Satan, right? The only way you do these miracles is because Satan is in you. And that's when Jesus said, listen, you can blaspheme me, but you cannot blaspheme the Holy Spirit. At that point, that's what he's saying. He's blaspheming. And that's the ultimate sin, is to say that Jesus is not God and speak against what God has ultimately said and not believe in Jesus Christ. That's the only unforgivable sin. People always talk about the unforgivable sin. Well, the unforgivable sin is not to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And the moment you die, you end up in hell. But people talk about, you know, killing yourself and other things. But the only unforgivable sin is what John says in John chapter 16, I think. He says, and he will send the Holy Spirit, and he will convict the world of sin and judgment and righteousness, of sin, because they do not believe that Jesus is God. So that is the ultimate sin, is not believing Jesus is who he said he is. He can be resisted. Acts chapter 7 verse 51 says, you stiff neck and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did. And maybe you remember the one in Acts chapter 5 where Ananias and Sapphira, Barnabas sold a piece of land. And he sold that piece of land, and he gave all the money to the church, right? So Ananias and Sapphira, they said, wow, did you see all the attention Barnabas got? Guess what? We're going to sell a piece of land too. But they decided they'd keep back part of the money and pretend that they gave all the money to the church. And so when they get there and they say, well, you know, and we sold it, and I think it was Peter says, did you sell it for such and such? And they said, yeah. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? If they had not lied, they would not have died. And his wife came in and told the same lie, and she dropped dead too, right? That was the first church discipline. God was serious about his church. He speaks, he guides, he prays, he teaches, he communes or fellowships, he may be tested. He's a person in every sense. And I used to have my old Bible, but you can't see it, it's messed up as much. But really, when he says another helper And John chapter 14, verse 16, it means another one of the exact same kind and the exact way, right? So if I said I wanted another Bible using the same Greek word that was used in the book of John, it would mean that this Bible had to have every little piece. That little piece would have to be coming loose right there. That little piece would have to be gone. Every little wrinkle, every little spot, it would have to be exactly like this one in every way, shape, and form. It couldn't be different in any way. And that's the word that Jesus uses when I says, I'll send another helper. He says, I'm going to send another one just like me. Just like me. Because He is God, right? The Holy Spirit is God. We'll just talk about some of those things that He does. Some of the works of creation in Genesis. It says, and the Spirit hovered over the water, right? When they were forming, when God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit were forming the earth. The inspiration of Scripture. It says that no man wrote Scripture on his own, but it was God breathed. It was inspired by the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit inspired men to write the Word of God. We talked about His salvation. He resurrects. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 talks about that verse. He says, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. You know, one day the Holy Spirit's going to resurrect us, right? It says in Romans 1:4 that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power from the Holy Spirit because of this, He had the Spirit of power. Also put Jesus in Mary's womb in Matthew chapter 1 verse 20. Joseph is thinking about Mary being pregnant. And it says, while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. That Jesus was deposited in the womb of Mary by the Holy Spirit, right? He has attributes. He's holy. To lie to Him is to lie to God. He's the Spirit of holiness. He's omniscient. Omniscient means that He knows everything, right? The thing about what's wonderful about God is nothing we ever do ever catches Him off guard. One man said it this way, has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever occurs to God? He's not over there going, oh no, did you see what happened to Marty? What are we going to do about that? He knows what's going to happen. He allows things to happen. He's in control of everything, right? So God is in control of everything. Give me a few more minutes and we'll be through. He's omnipresent. David said in Psalm 139, verse 7, where can I go from your Spirit? I believe it was David. Maybe it was in one of the other psalmists. He says, where can I go from your Spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. So some of the names, the Holy Spirit, is He's the Spirit of Yahweh. He's called the Spirit of Christ. He's called the Spirit of the Father, the Spirit of glory. He's called the Other Counselor, the Spirit of Jesus. He's also called the Spirit of His Son. And He's also called the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And then, like I said, in 14:26, He's another Comforter just like Jesus Christ. He is God, right? And the nice thing about it is what I like, and one of the verses that I quote all the time, and as we deal with people who have drug and alcohol problems, but the power's there for all of us. See, we don't realize so many times as Christians that we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us to live the Christian life. See, before we trusted Christ, we couldn't do what we wanted to do. And that's the whole point of chapter 8. Remember in chapter 7, what was Paul saying in chapter 7? The things I want to do, I do not do. And the things I don't want to do, I do those, right? Who shall deliver me from this body of death? And I think I use this, I don't know if I used this last week, I think I heard it on Monday. I heard a preacher that I like a lot. He says, when I try, I fail. When I trust, He succeeds. When I try, I fail. When I trust, He succeeds. That's why Paul said that when I am weak, I'm strong. Why? Because I depend on Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 12, right? That's why he said in Philippians 4, 11 to 13, I know how to be abased, I know how to abound, I know how to be hungry, I need to know how to be full, I know how to be rich, I need to know how to be poor. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? I've learned the secret of contentment. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's not talking about jumping over buildings in a single bound like Superman and running faster than a speeding locomotive or beating some other sports team. What is he talking about? He's talking about living the Christian life no matter what circumstance life deals me. No matter how bad it gets, no matter how bad my health gets, no matter how bad situations are, no matter what happens in life, guess what? I can make it through because I have the Spirit of Christ. And now what he says in Romans 8:31, I think it is, that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. We are more than conquerors. And the verse that I read a lot of times is Paul talks about that in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. He says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So he says, to him who's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. What power is that? That's Holy Spirit power. Listen, folks. The same Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the same power that created the universe, the same power that created you and me. And I was reading the other day that they don't even know the universes are still expanding, but they said our universe or the whatever it is, I don't know, it's our universe, is 157 million light years in size. I mean, that's 186,000 something miles per second. And that's how big? 157 million of those light years. I mean, I forget how many they said they just now got to Mars or somewhere, wherever they sent this thing to. I forget where it's at. And it's like took the spacecraft like 20 years to get there or something, you know. The closest star is like I don't know how many light years away, and it's amazing. You know, we look out there and we see that, and the moon, I mean, the moon's 90,000 miles away, and the sun's way out there. If it was just a little bit closer, we'd burn up. If it was just a little bit further away, we'd freeze. God created everything, and he created it perfectly. And the neat thing about it is that same power that created all of that is the same power we have available to live the Christian life. And so that's the reason I kind of wanted to start off this morning talking about the Holy Spirit. Like I said, he's mentioned 20 times just in this one chapter, about 20 times. But he's only mentioned once in the first 7 chapters. But when we get to chapter 8, we're going to begin to talk about the victory in Jesus and how we can live the Christian life, and how there is no condemnation now to those who are in Christ Jesus. And that's because God has forgiven us and changed us and saved us and put the Holy Spirit in us. My prayer today is that all of us would live in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, living in the power of the Holy Spirit is not jumping up and down and singing and going crazy and doing all kinds of stuff they talk about today. But the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. You know what? And then he says, against such there's no law. You can do those all day long and you won't get arrested for them. I say, tell the people in the jail or prison, do this instead of that. You can't get arrested for doing these things, right? Then he tells us over in Ephesians and Colossians that he talks about the manifestations of the Spirit is what? Singing and making melody in your heart, speaking about the Word of God, giving thanks, and being submissive. God wants us to live for Him. And you know what? He said, I will not leave you orphans. I gave you the power to live the Christian life, that we can live it if we want to, because the power is available. But so many people just don't get it. Sort of like that lady I told y'all about years ago. Some of y'all weren't here, but Hetty Green, she was the world's richest miser. She had about $2 or $3 million in the bank, but she wouldn't use electricity. She wouldn't heat up anything in the microwave. She went around looking for a free clinic for her son because he had a problem with his leg, and eventually ended up cutting it off because they got gangrene, because she couldn't find a free clinic. But when she died, they found she had, I think it was $1.3 million. But she was living like she had nothing. And so many times as Christians, instead of living in the power and the might of the Holy Spirit and living the Christian life like we ought to, we walk around going, woe is me, and praying for stuff God's already given us and not trusting in the things that's already there. I'm going to sing at the end, and we're going to sing Victory in Jesus, because that's really what we have, right? Well, let's pray and let's close. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your grace and your mercy and love. We thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross. We thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to live in us and through us, that we might live the Christian life. Lord, just help each one of us here today to know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, because you've given us the Holy Spirit of power, that when we are weak, we can be strong, because it is you that lives in us and through us. That's what Paul said in Galatians 2:20. It is no longer I who live, but the life that I live by the power of Christ that lives in me. And so, Father, I pray that that would be each and every one of our lives, that we would now live that life because of the Spirit and the power of God that lives in us and through us. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Please help us reach out to those the world has forgotten. Everyone we minister to is locked up in some way, shape, or form. Those in the nursing home facilities are locked up in bodies that do not work, in a wheelchair, and a bed. We minister to children and youth who are locked up because of behavioral problems. Some have told us we want to have a real family because their parents have lost or given up custody of them. Other kids are locked up because they've committed crimes. We also minister to those locked up at the jails and the prisons, to those locked up in addiction, to drugs, alcohol, depression, and suicidal thoughts, to those locked up in a variety of other things that keep them from becoming who Jesus wants them to be. He came to give us abundant life, joy, and set us free, and these people that we minister to are not free. Our desire is to show them, whatever their background, no matter what they've done, to see how much God loves them. We seek to help them receive forgiveness and freedom from their sin in Jesus Christ. We minister in the local area of Savannah, Georgia, and surrounding Effingham and Chatham area. We have recently expanded our ministry to the Lexington, Columbia, South Carolina area. We do over 2,000 services every year. We hope and pray that you will support us in some way, that so we can continue our mission. Go to hisloveministries.net and click on the Donate Now button, or send it via regular mail to Post Office Box 1881, Lexington, South Carolina 29071. We hope and pray that you will do that. Thank you, and God bless you. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. John 8:32.